Welcome to the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. My name is Matt Bilyeu. This podcast has the audio portions of our discussions on a Discord server. I certainly recommend joining that server so that you can join in the discussion and see the slides. You can find a link to the server in the show notes. You can also email me at matt.bilyeu, that's B as in boy, I-L-Y-E-U, at reasonablefaith.org. That's matt.bilyeu at reasonablefaith.org. I look forward to chatting with you.
So the one of the things that the Muslims will say is they'll say that Allah is loving, but they would also say that his love costs him nothing. In your presentation, you seem to imply that, you know, a perfect love would entail sacrifice of some sort. But Muslims think Allah is loving, even though they think sacrifice is impossible for him. So where right. have they gone wrong?
Well, I would just say that I don't think, I think you're having to make a category distinction there, because I think our experience with love and how we talk about love colloquially and how we understand it is with that analogy of some kind of sacrifice. Like, I don't know what it would mean for me to love someone with that kind of, I think it would cheapen it a little bit if I had infinite love for everybody in a way that, like, it didn't have to be, I shouldn't say the word earned, but in a way that wouldn't really be limited. And that's why I try to give the analogy of like the billionaire versus the single mom, where, you know, if Bill Gates just gives money to every child who's starving, that's great. Maybe he does love them, but it seems like it's less impactful than, at least on the individual child, than it would be if the child's like mother or friend like worked two jobs, had to put food on the table and did that. That to me seems like that's more loving because there was more work put into it and more sacrifice and more selflessness in that part than there would be on behalf of someone who has unlimited resources, or at least a large amount of resources. So I think it seems in our intuitions that that seems to be the highest forms of love, the ones that require that kind of sacrifice. And that's something that I don't think that Allah in the Muslim conception, God can really do. And so I'm not even sure what it would mean for Allah to love us. Maybe in an affectionate way, like that I could love things like a pet, but not in a way that seems like it'd be the greatest kind of love that we're familiar with.
Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. I mean, on one level, it seems like love entails a desire for proximity. So it'd be weird if I told you, oh yeah, I have a wife, you know, we've been married for, you know, 11 years, we love each other to death. Then you say, oh, when was the last time you saw her? Oh, I've never seen her. I've never been near her. Yeah, that would be very strange.
Right.
So yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. Well, going back to your presentation on slide 11, You said that God, that we would expect, or we would be, we would expect that God would provide miracles as proof of the incarnation, proof of the truth of who this person was that had been incarnated. And right. we know that from the Christian story that it's not just Jesus that had miracles that attended his ministry. It was also the disciples that attended that. So my question would be, if we would expect God to prove the truth of whatever religion through miracles, then why don't we see miracles all the time? Like, I know that you gave a presentation saying that miracles still occur, but I'm sure you'd agree that they're pretty rare. It's not like every pastor of every church has the power of healing. But why not? Why wouldn't God just say, okay, well, every senior pastor that's in a church that's truly following me, you're like a mm-hmm. Paul, you just get all the miracles. Why wouldn't he do that?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think that under this argument we can predict how the frequency or you know, whether God would do this himself or whether he'd have prophets do it or apostles. Like, I try to leave that as open as possible because I don't want to get too specific. And so that's all those are possible under that. But just the general question of, like, why not have every ordained pastor be able to perform miracles? I mean, I think that kind of goes into the issue of, like, you know, why doesn't God heal everyone, or why do miracles only happen sometimes to the others? There's also a distinction between healing miracles and, like, vindication miracles. Right, so miracles just to help people, like healing, which is by far the most common kind, could be done, I think, across the board just out of love and caringness for the person in general, but they don't have to necessarily vindicate a message, where something like raising from the dead or walking in water doesn't really, like, benefit anyone explicitly. That's more of a kind of a show-offy miracle of, like, oh, this is who I am kind of thing. So I think there's a distinction there. I do think that miracles are fairly rare, although I'd be careful with that, given that, you know, I mean, Craig Keener says it's probably about 200 million people alive today claim to have seen a miracle. Now, I don't think those are all legitimate, but I think it's very hard to gauge how much of these, how common these do happen. But I do think that they're more common in environments where you don't have the gospel preached, right? So in the West, which is traditionally more Christianized, you're not going to expect to see as many, especially given you know, modern medicine, it's less necessary, as you would in countries that are mostly not Christian. So if these are meant to vindicate a message and to spread the idea of this God being incarnate, you'd expect these being the places where the gospel isn't preached very often. And indeed, that's what you see with missionaries, where places like Africa and Southeast Asia and stuff like that, to where they're very largely non-Christian nations that are seeing rapid growth and conversion to Christianity because of miracles. So I would say that when we say we don't see miracles like that, I think in the West we have to be careful, because given that we're already a Christian background, most people know Christianity is a thing, you're not going to expect to see them as commonly. I still do think that they do happen in America, and that's what my previous presentation was on. But yeah, I think they're going to be more common in places that are not as evangelized for that exact reason.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you find these podcasts helpful, please subscribe and share them with a friend. Also, please join our Discord server for live discussions. You can find the server link in the show notes along with my email address. I'll see you next time.